Vaidya Rajagrihya Nama. Now, he is indicating here some of his manifestations here. So, we already discussed that he alone had become this entire universe. He is the doer, he is also the action. He is also the instrument through which action is done. This idea, accepting him, nothing exists, is being expounded here. Aham kraturaham yajnaha swadhaham aushadham mantroham ahamevajyam aham agniraham hutam. This verse is similar to the verse we chant before taking food. Brahmaarpanam brahmavihi. It's a similar one. I am the kratu. I am the yajna. What is the difference between kratu and yajna? These are two types. Two different types of sacrifices. And usually in kratu, pashu bali is not given. In yajna, pashu bali is given, that is an animal is sacrificed, either without sacrifice or with sacrifice. This is the usual difference between kratu and yajna. So, I am the swadha and I am the aushadha. Swadha, when we particularly give a kind of offering, we use, you know, if it is a god, goddess, then swaha. But if it is for the ancestors, then we say swadha. Though, sometimes I also found in puja also this is used. Yes, certain offerings among these dashopachara, 10. Sometimes swaha, sometimes swadha, like that also we use. Anyway, this particular swadha means that is food offered to the here means, ancestor means. I am aushudha, I am the medication. Everything that we eat is nothing but a medicine, because we suffer from a disease called hunger. This body itself is a disease, like diabetes. After diabetes, several other things develop. So the body is first disease. And after it comes, it invites all its relatives. The hunger, the thirst, and all these things are extra diseases. So we have to deal with all of them. So the first thing that we deal with is breathing. So what does breathing do? It gives prana. Vayu is prana. Therefore it keeps the prana or life alive. But we also have to eat. We also have to drink. We also have to do actions for, this is called feeding medicine. So everything that we eat is only a medicine. So eating doesn't mean only the physical eating. You see, the eye is long, it is the eyes are part of the disease. Is, I want to see, all right, see, feed it. I want to hear something and feed it. The disease, you know, is one partner says, I want to hear, I love you, I love you, I love you. It is a disease to desire to hear those words. But unless that aushadha, that medication is given, the mind will not become happy about it. So, I am the medicine. And the thing is, everyone is a medicine to everything else. Everything in this world is a medicine for everything. Why? Everything in this world is food to something else. Mantroham. Those mantras by which we offer, they are mantras. That is the primary meaning. Secondary meaning is, whatever brings an effect is also a mantra. You say, a doctor says, you will be alright. That's a mantra. Or an enemy says, I will kill you. That's a mantra. Anything that affects the mind is a mantra. Mananat trayate iti mantra. That is the general meaning. By thinking about it, what saves one? But what affects one is a better word, you know. By mantra we can kill. And incidentally, there are also mantras which actually kill. In three different types of mantras are there. Marana, Uchyatana, Vashikarana. Marana means one can kill. And Uchyatana means one can drive away from one place, you know. And Vashikarana means one can hypnotize other persons or bring them under their control. Tantric rites are there. There are many such things are there. So, mantras, I am those mantras. Because whatever affects is energy. And that energy comes from where? From God Himself. God Himself is the energy. Aham eva ajyam means I am that one which is, whatever we put it in the fire is called ajya. So whatever we eat is something like we put it. Here is God. He is called Vaishvanara. Here the God remains in our stomach in the form of Jatharagni. He is called Vaishvanara. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninaham Deham Ashritaha Pranapana Samapana Pachamyanam Chaturvidham. I digest all sorts of foods remaining there in the form of Jatharagni. He is called Vaishvanara. He is a fire. That is why it burns. If more fire is there, if you don't put properly, if you worry too much, it burns the intestines themselves. This is what you call ulcers and all those things. I am also the fire into which it is. Fire also is a god. Fire is a god. Fire is a like a general post office. Fire is compared to a general post office. The address. And it is address. Vishnu, Vishnave, Swaha. And postman will take it to Vishnu. Chandraya, Swaha. Takes it to Chandra. Ramakrishna, Swaha. Goes to Ramakrishna. Yes. That is what is called Purohita. Agni is called Purohita. See, what do you do to, when you go to a temple? What do? You hand over your articles to the priest. What does he do? Whichever god is there, he hands it over. Suppose you say this is for Anjaneya, he will give it to Anjaneya. If it is Rama, he will give it to Rama. That is why Purohita is called Puraha Ahita. One who is present in the front as a doorway through which the offerings are conveyed to the invisible gods. That is why fire converts. Is called as a currency converter. Whatever article you put, currency, he converts it. Credit card. Aham Agni, Aham Hutam. And also I am the oblation. So whatever action is done, he is everything. Who is offering? Himself. And what is the means? He is the means. What is the instrument? He is the instrument. What is offered? So four actions. The person who is offering, and the person for whom it is meant, and the instrument. For example, you know, if it is clarified butter, then you take it in a spoon and put it there. That is the instrument. Into through which you convey that one through the fire. And you utter a particular mantra. Mantra is like an address. This is meant for this particular god or goddess. It is also meant for a particular purpose. You donate money. You say, this is for flood relief. So the purpose. I want a house. Swaha. Yeah. I will. Pitahamasya jagato mata dhata pitamaha vedyam pavitramonkara riksamaya yurevacha gatirvarta prabhu sakshi nivasaksharanam sukrut prabhava pralayasthanam nidhanam bijamavyayam. I am the father of this world. Here in this sense, you know, he is the consciousness. Other places also, he had indicated exactly the same thing. Where I am the mother. So here mother means Prakriti, is power of Maya. I am the sustainer. I am the sustainer means I only uphold this universe, because I become the food, I become the energy, I become the prana, etc. And I am the grandfather. What is the meaning of grandfather? Who is the father? Ishvara. Who is the grandfather? Brahman. In that sense. I am the purifier. Because everything that goes is purified, everything is impure. Whatever is in the dualistic world is impure. But if it is offered to God, then it becomes, you take God's name and do anything. That is why we take Thakur's name before eating anything especially. So, I am the one thing to be known. He says, there is only one thing to be known in this world. What is that? Dve vidye veditavye paracha aparachaiva. There are only two things, two knowledges to be gained. The inferior and superior. The inferior belongs to this whole universal knowledge is called inferior knowledge. Paravidya, the supreme knowledge about Brahman. Means in simple words, God. God alone is the one thing, one knowledge we are all seeking. All that we are seeking is only one thing. The knowledge of the self. And that self is called Sachidananda. That means, why do we eat? So that we can live alive. Why do we want to be alive? So that I can become aware. Why do I want to be aware? Because I want to be happy. See, temporarily we are gods. Temporary objects make us temporarily immortal. Temporary immortality is called mortality. Yes. Permanent mortality is called immortality. Yes, that is simple truth. The syllable, I am the syllable Om. In Vedas, this Omkara is given the highest priority. I am Om. Because Om is also the visible sound symbol. Omkara also is the symbol of the highest reality, unsounded sound. There is a peculiar philosophy. It is called Spotavada, the philosophy of sound. According to that, this whole creation, right from Brahman, can be divided into four. Brahman is one, and there are three stages. Para is Brahman. Pashyanti, Madhyama, Vaikari. So these three belong to the, what is called, the dualistic universe. So this Omkara ultimately takes one step by step to that highest reality, which is called, in our conception, it is called as, named as Om. So it is beautiful exposition of this Omkara has been done in one of the most profound Upanishads, which also is the smallest of the Upanishads, known Upanishads. It is called Mandukya Upanishad, not Mundaka, Mandukya Upanishad. Only 12 mantras are there, and it is nothing but an exposition. Very briefly, Om consists of 3.5 syllables. 3 are audible, 1 is inaudible. A, U, and Ma. M, like that. And that which is inaudible is Ardha Matra. It is called half the syllable that is inaudible. So that inaudible is the all-pervading Omkara, which is the very basis of these audible things. Akara stands for what? The waking state. Ukara stands for a dream state, and Makara stands for the deep sleep Sushupti state. So these three states are the only states we experience in the dualistic world. But by chance, if we go beyond, then we experience the Ardhamatra, which is immortal. That is most wonderful theory. We will not go into it. That's why Omkara is considered as the most wonderful mantra any religion in this world has discovered. And what I gave is the symbolic significance. But outwardly, it covers, this Omkara covers all the possible worlds in that we know. How does it do?
Possible state. The three worlds are
all these
vocal cords.
No, sound. I'm talking about sound.
Lowest to the highest.
Because every object in this world has a name. And every name can be uttered in an audible form, shabda. And all the shabdas have to come only through this voice box. So, it starts with akara. That is why aksharana akaro asmi, among the letters I am, because I is the very foundation. All the other letters are nothing but modifications of akara. So, A and U comes in the middle. Ma, when we close the lips, you cannot utter Ma with open lips. The lips have got to be. So, the whole sound box is represented here. So, any object has a name, and every name, it has to be sounded only from here to here, from here to here. So, Om covers from here to here. That is why it is the most generalized name which covers all the objects in any world, this world, the other world, any world. It's whole Jagat. That's why it is one of the best discoveries of any religion. Wonderful, you see, how our rishis had discovered by combining from here to here. I am also the Rig, Saman and Yajus. I am the Vedas, in other words. So, the idea is, according to Hindus, the Rig Veda and the Yajur Veda and the Sama Veda. Originally, only three Vedas. Later on, Atharvana Veda was also added. That's why Trayividya Mam Somapaha Putapa. It is Bhagavad Gita itself. Trayividya means three. Rig, Yaju and Sama. Hindus believe all the knowledge that can be attained either of this world or the other world, it is all contained in these three Vedas. That is why he says, all knowledge comes from me. How does it come? I manifest in the form of Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda. And all the other scriptures are nothing but, it's only explanations of these three. That is the idea. Or if you want even simpler way of understanding, he says, I am the knowledge. Simple. I am the knowledge. Yeah. I am the goal. Where are we all going? To God. Why? Because we came from God. So there is no other way, but our journey is towards to go to God. I am the supporter, physically, mentally, spiritually. Who supports us? God Himself. I am the Lord, I am the ruler of these three worlds. I am the witness. I am the abode. I am the abode both here and the other world. I am the refuge. Where else would you go? Every day we are doing this. When you are hungry, who is your refuge? Food. God in the form of food. When you want to breathe, who is your refuge? Vayu Devata. So, the God only in this form He is serving us. Because no credit should be given to him. After all, he created this mess. Who is going to look after? We are his children. So it is his bounden duty and to do that. I am the friend. I am the origin. I am the dissolution. I am the, so origin, substratum and dissolution. Srishti, Sthiti and Laya. The storehouse. Everything is contained in me. And I am also the seed immutable. What do you understand by that?
The unmanifested.
So, this whole universe remains in the form of an unmanifested seed before creation. And when it, what creation means, it manifests. And dissolution means, it goes back. So, Srishti, Sthiti, Laya has not started at some point of time. It is eternal. Because it is the same God whom we look at him in the form of these all these finite things. That's all. Tapamyaham aham varsham nigrihnam yatsrujamicha amrutancheiva mrityuscha sadasascha aham arjuna. I, as sun, I give heat. I withhold and send forth rain in the form of the gods. That is why Hindus are great believers in God. You do yajna. Yajna means what? Acknowledge gratefully what God gives. That is called yajna. It is not, you are not sacrificing anything. It's accepting, you are sacrificing your ingratitude. Be grateful. Thank you for giving me. That's all God wants. He doesn't want anything else. Because what can you give to God? Can you give anything to God? Does he, first of all, does he lack?
No.
He is giving us. So what is yours? Like that story, you know. Some scientists, and they said God is redundant. Because they also learned the technique of, you know, creating life. So, they went to God, one day they made an appointment, went to him and said, God, now you better retire. He said, why? Because we have learned the technique of creating prana. So, that's all God's. So, God said, is it true? Is it so? Come on. Then they took up some dust, scooped up some dust, about to convert it into prana. God said, no, bring your own dust. Not my dust. Your own dust. Because the dust already contains prana. It is he himself. So you go outside me and bring something which belongs to you. Because they themselves belong to whom? To God only. How stupid they are, you know. Yeah. So, these few verses just give a hint that telling us that we are all nothing but God. And what we are interacting, this world is also nothing but God. This idea has been expounded beautifully in the 10th chapter, the next chapter, which is appropriately titled as Vibhuti Yoga. The whole chapter is a chapter on the glory of God. Now, on the glory of God means not as quality. That's one point you have to understand. Say glory, you see, for example, there is a wonderful singer. What is his glory? He can sing beautifully. But at some point he can also lose his capacity to sing. Then he will no longer be a singer. A teacher, if he can't teach, he no longer becomes a teacher. But not in that sense. Because God and his glory is like fire and its burning power. We always have to understand that with regard to duality, then the substance is different, the quality is different. With regard to God, It is the one and the same thing. Is it? How you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Fire, earth, the sun and his rays. I say Ramakrishna gives milk and its whiteness. So has anybody ever seen black milk? There is nothing called black milk, only white milk. It's an illustration to show you cannot separate them. Yeah. Now, there is within the so many verses, two verses, he is trying to say there are some people who always desire short-term happiness, who plan for short-term happiness. And it is, he is not condemning them. It looks as though he is condemning. He is not condemning. Nothing is condemned. In Vedas, nothing is condemned. What it is said, you see, if you are aiming for short-term happiness, you will be a fool. That's all. You have a choice. You want short-term happiness, it is your choice. Why? Because who gives the short-term happiness? It is also God only, in the form of, already he told, Aham Kratur Aham Yajnaha Mantroham Ahame. He said, I am everything. And why did he create? Because he knows there will be some children whose understanding is small, who would always want short-term happiness. And by short-term happiness doesn't mean that only in the next world. Even within this world, you see, some people want only to go to a hotel and stay there. Yes, you can stay there, but you have to pay the payment. Short-term happiness requires short-term payment. That payment also comes through hard work. Anything we have to pay. God never believed in free things. Nothing called free lunch. However small you want, that you have to pay. But that is one about God. Being very wise, his business will never fail. Why? Because first to pay and you get the thing. He never believes first enjoy then pay. He always says first to pay then enjoy later on. First you pray to me, you do this, you do that, and then this is the idea he gives. So very briefly, the knowers of the three Vedas, worshipping me by yajna, drinking the soma juice, and thus being purified from sin, pray for passage to heaven, reaching the holy world of the Lord of the Devas. They enjoy in heaven the divine pleasures of the Devas. So heaven is only a similar type of happiness here. In quality and quantity, it is much better. Nothing else. Even if you go there, you will enjoy the same type of things, but slightly refined, and it is temporary. Once your credit is exhausted, they are ready to push you out. What happens? Tetam bhuktva svargalokam vishalam kshine punye martyalokam vishanti evam trayi dharma manu prapannaha gata gatam kama kama labhante. Having enjoyed the vast swarga world, they enter the mortal world on the exhaustion of their merit. Thus, abiding by the injunctions of the three Vedas, desiring desires, they come and go. What is wrong with temporary happiness? There is nothing wrong. What is wrong? It is you pay, you enjoy, then when it is over, come back again, then you pay, then you enjoy, then you come back, then you pay, then you enjoy. This every time you have to. So, because God runs the heaven and he wants his customers. Everybody who comes there as guests is a customer. But supposing somebody says that I don't want to pay and I want to enjoy permanently. Is there any way? Yes, God says, yes, there is a way. Then this try to be adopted by me. Be my son. I am ready to adopt you as my son. Then you don't need to pay. And permanently you will be, he will allot one apartment, one suit, executive suit. So, he is not condemning, because we all have to go through this rigmarole, there is no doubt about it. But once we come and go, we get tired, then we seek for permanency. What is it we seek in this world? Two things. What is it? First, happiness, then a permanent happiness. Every day effort is what? For permanent happiness, nothing else. But that's not possible in this world. One of the most beautiful verses follows now. Ananyas chintayanto mam ijana pariupasate tesham nitya bhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyam. Persons who, meditating on me as non-separate, worship me in all beings, to them thus ever jealously engaged, I carry what they lack and preserve what they already have. That means God will look after the devotees who rely totally upon Him. So those who rely totally upon Him have got two characteristics. What is it? They do not think that they belong to the world. They think they belong to God only, non-separatedness. Either way, either I am Brahmasmi, or I am a servant of God, I am a child of God, or I am a devotee of God, whatever way. They are ever related to God, first. The second point is, they also know that this world is there. Whose world is that? God's world. So they never think that this world belongs to devil. They also love the world because they know this world is no other but God's own manifestation. For such people, what does the God do who rely totally upon Him? What does He do? They need not worry how, where they are going to eat, what they are going to eat, and where they are going to sleep, what they need tomorrow, day after tomorrow, until death. So, God will bring to them what is necessary, and what they have, He will never take away, He will protect. What does it mean? That He will give and He will protect. Can He not give again? Suppose He gives a car to a devotee and somebody has stolen the car. What does He do? He preserves. Preservation doesn't mean that He always keeps a watch like a laboratory. What does He do? Somehow He sees that the devotee gets what he wants at any given time. That's all. The devotee need not worry. When the devotee is there, God is there to look after the devotee. Where is the need for the devotee to worry? Now God has given me, but tomorrow, where from am I going to get? Absolutely nothing to worry. And if he is worrying, what does it mean?
He doesn't rely upon God.
Anybody who worries doesn't rely upon God. This is the simple truth, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant. A true devotee of God has nothing to worry. Even from an ordinary point of view, there is nothing to worry. You know why? You see, Hindus are, at Vedanta especially, is talking about God taking care of us. On the other hand, it is also talking about what? The law of
karma.
So, if something happens either to us or to those whom we consider as our own, our wife or husband or children or etc., everything goes according to the karma phala. That's why, as though all are devotees of God, there is a vast difference between one devotee and the other devotee. Madhur Babu was such a, Rani Rasmani was such a wealthy woman.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas there are so many priests who are also devoted to God. They are very, very poor. For example, Ram Kumar himself had become very poor. So why? The only explanation is their karma phala must be like that. And that must be good, because God could improve their situation, but didn't. Narendranath. Did not he pray to God? He could not pray. He went to pray. He couldn't pray. He prayed to Sri Ramakrishna. You know that?
No.
He was sent 3 times.
Yes.
Every time he says, give me only devotion, dispassion, discrimination, knowledge. Sri Ramakrishna said, what is this? You came to pray for money and you are praying for these things. He said, what can I do? It is your magic. You have created my mind like that. I can't desire anything. Sri Ramakrishna said, don't worry. Simple food, simple living, mother will look after you. But you are not destined to enjoy this world like other people. That is the simple truth. So, Swami Vivekananda never had anything extra. Of course, he became a monk. Really, he served Sri Ramakrishna himself. In the end, he was so poor, he had to carry a bundle of cloths from village to village, eke out a bit of living. It is extraordinary. This is very difficult for us to understand. A man who lived with an incarnation of God had to suffer so much. Yeah, difficult. Anyway, the point is that this is a shloka which tells us about self-surrender, complete self-surrender. Now, by the way, there is nothing called 50% self-surrender. There is no such idea. Either 100% self-surrender or no surrender at all. So, we are trying to accommodate, you know. Slowly, slowly we surrender. That's why, you know, I surrender myself to in the evening. And after making pranams, we take it back. Otherwise, next morning, how are you going to surrender again? Yeah. The next verse is also a very beautiful verse and one of the cardinal principles of Hinduism. We already told. What is it? Everybody is worshipping only one God through different forms. Epyanya devata bhakta yajantri shraddhayanvitaha tepi mameva kaunteya yajantya vidhipurvakam. Even those devotees who endued with Shraddha worship other gods, they too worship me alone, O son of Kunti, but it is wrong method. Wrong means their understanding is not correct. So what is the difference? There are 2 points here to be noted. Let anybody worship God in any form. Other devatas means other forms. Lakshmi, Saraswati, Ganesha, and Christ, Allah, all these are different forms. There is only one God. We can't worship many gods because there are no different gods. But we can worship God in different forms, thinking that God is having that particular capacity. Saraswati has the capacity of what? Giving?
Knowledge.
And somehow we think she has no capacity to give wealth. Lakshmi, we worship. For what?
Wealth.
For wealth. But we think that she has no capacity for giving knowledge. Somehow or other, these ideas have come. Now, they are wrong ideas. They are our ideas, human ideas. God has... He can give you anything. That is why he is called Kamadheno. Means you can desire anything he will give you. Or Kalpavriksha, wish-fulfilling tree. Now, important point here, the second point is that what is the idea of worshipping God? True worship of God means I want to become like you. You know? Not any particular form, God. What is that? I want to be you, Sachidananda. If I worship Sachidananda, what do I want to become? You. But if I worship, let us say, Lakshmi, what is my idea? I want to become wealthy like you. I am excluding other things. That is what the Lord says is wrong, misunderstanding. Two misunderstandings. What is? When you are not anybody, let anybody worship any form of God, he is only worshipping me. Second, that it is not a very good thing to worship for only for one thing. Why don't you ask, what is there after all? And give me money, give me knowledge, give me devotion. You can ask for everything. What is the problem? After all, you have to ask. Who prevents you from asking everything? Did God say, no, you can only ask one thing? And Marwadi, he was praying to God. And God appeared. And he said, I want several things from you. God said, no. So you can only ask one boon. He said, okay, in that case, let me eat in golden plates in big mansions with my great-great-grandsons. He got money. And he got long life, and he got all this progeny, and first class enjoyment. All the boons he wanted, he got in one. God said, damn it, I have to learn a lot from this merchant. Next time, if anybody prays, he will, he know, he has no. You can't go on asking all these things. See. Why can't we ask, does not God know what is good for us? Is he not going to give us? It is our ignorance to think, unless I specify that God should give me this, and he will not understand. How much more foolish we can be? Simply you say, Lord, whatever you want to give me, please give me. Whatever you think is good for me, you give me. After all, what is it we want? We want to be happy. We want to be immortal. You think if you rely upon God, does he not know what to give, what not to give? You don't trust him. Yeah, people don't trust him, you know. A miser, he prayed to God. If you give me $1,000, I will give you back $500. After prayer, he was walking. Suddenly he found $500 lying on this road. He picked them up and he said, God, you don't trust me. You have taken your 50% all. See, we don't trust really God. We think, we know, what is good for us? No, that's a wrong idea. God knows much better than us what is right for us. He knows not only what is good for us now, what is good for us in the future in this life, what is good for us in the next life also. Because he knows our whole future. But we don't have that much of trust. That is the point. Then he continues, you know, अहम् हि सर्वयज्ञानां भोक्ता च प्रभुरेव च न तु माम् अभिजानन्ति तत्त्वेनातश्च्यवन्ति ते. सो ही इज गिविंग इन ए वे एन एक्सप्लेनेशन ऑफ द लास्ट वर्स. व्हाट इज इट? हु इज इट दैट इज रियली द डिवोटी? इज ही डिफरेंट फ्रॉम गॉड? गॉड ओनली हैज बिकम द devotee. Who is the enjoy? We want, as you give me money. And what do? We want to enjoy. We become enjoyers. Who is the real enjoyer? God only. I alone am the enjoyer. And Lord of all ignorance. But because they do not know me in reality, they return to the mortal world again and again, because we think, we are the enjoyers. God is only provider. Who enjoys? We are enjoying. As though, yes, that, what is the idea? God is separate from us. That's not correct. Sri Ramakrishna's life, there are wonderful incidents are there. One incident was there. So one day he was sitting for eating. And then one woman was serving. There were so many dishes. She was thinking, what is this? He is a spiritual person. And he loves to eat a lot of good food. What was he doing and what was she thinking about? Ramakrishna, he knows what each one of us are thinking. So he took a little bit of food from the plate and slowly took it to the mouth. As soon as, it came near the mouth, he opened his mouth, we open our mouth, a snake came out, snatched the food and went back. And the woman almost fainted because inside there is a snake. Then she understood. Sri Ramakrishna, who was eating? Not Sri Ramakrishna. Who was eating? The Divine Lord Himself is eating. Because Sri Ramakrishna had no separate identity excepting, I am a Divine Mother. He used to say, I belong to the Divine Mother. And if he belongs to Divine Mother, who is he? He is the Divine Mother. Divine Mother is Sri Ramakrishna. So always that idea, not I, but it is the Divine Mother who is eating. Who is giving? The Divine Mother. Who is eating? Divine Mother. Who is talking? The Divine Mother. Everything. So what is he doing? A constant yajna. It's whatever he is doing is nothing but a yajna. What is yajna? Yajna has only one purpose. What is that purpose? Namaha. Na mama. Not mine. Not me. Not mine. There is nothing. God doesn't want anything. Everything belongs to God. We also belong to God. But ignorance means we think we are separate from God. And what belongs to us also is separate from God. But to give up that I and mine is real meaning of the sacrifice. When we attain to that sacrifice, then what do we say? Brahma Karma Samadhi. Whatever you do, sit, that is samadhi. And talk, that is samadhi. Walk, that is samadhi. Eat, samadhi. Then he is also telling that those who worship with this wrong idea, other devas, they attain devas. Those who worship ancestors, they are mains, they become mains. Those who worship devils, they become devils. And those who worship me, they will come to me. This is a very important idea. It's not what we are worshipping, but how we are worshipping. What is the idea? This is a very important thing to be learned. You know, we all go to and sit and meditate. Supposing you find somebody, the person is very nice, smiley. Then he goes to the puja room and worships Sri Ramakrishna. When he comes out, he is a very irritating man. He becomes very irritated. Before going to the puja room, he was not getting irritated. But after coming out from the puja room, he is terribly irritated. Now, whom was he worshipping? Irritation. He was worshipping irritation. He was physically, he was externally, he was uttering Ramakrishna, Ramakrishna or any. But what was his real thought? Irritating thought. He is meditating upon it. How do we know? Because he had become irritation. He had become angry. Or he had become disappointed. How can you be disappointed, angry, irritated after worshipping God? Before worshipping God, if you are that also should disappear. That means, what is the idea? In plain words, that you must have very positive very hopeful, very joyful thoughts when you enter into the shrine room. And if you can develop such thoughts in course of time, a atmosphere develops. And then, when you are not in a good mood, as soon as you enter, that will transform you. That's what happens in the company of happy people. As soon as you go into the presence of the happy people, you will become happy. In simple explanation, you get bored. You don't know what to do. Then what do you do? Let me go to my friend who can tell me a lot of jokes and make me laugh and is the what's called soul of the company. Isn't it? And you see, there are persons who are very cheerful. And as soon as you go, when you come out, what happens to you? You become a cheerful person. Somehow that person has infected you with his optimism, cheerfulness. Is it not? You know, when Swami Vivekananda was lecturing here in USA, that was a period, I think it was the end of the 19th century, it was a very depressing period. There was an economic crisis and lots of people had lost their jobs. Many people committed suicide and it was a most depressing time, like that it is happening now. Then is this Gargis, new discoveries. So some people came to know Swami Vivekananda. He was lecturing. And once they heard him, then they started going again and again. Then one such person was asked, do you understand what the Swami is talking? He said, not much really. But whenever I come out after hearing him, somehow I feel that yes, I can face life. I get some type of courage. I can do. Otherwise depressing, suicidal thoughts used to be there. But when after hearing Swami Vivekananda, he would become very cheerful. See? How much hundreds of people he could enthuse. Even today you read, you will only get positive thoughts from him, never negative thoughts. And here also, Gita also, even though it may be Sanskrit, only positive thoughts. Everywhere positive thoughts. How to practice positive thoughts? What is spiritual life? Tell me in psychological language, what is spiritual progress? Not getting up, if previously you are getting up at 7 o'clock, now you are getting up at 4 o'clock. Previously your blood pressure was 120, now your blood pressure is 150. Is that spiritual progress? Spiritual progress means that we become more and more self-reliant, cheerful, positive, optimistic, look at the at life in a most wonderful, loving light. I don't know anything other than this. The nearer you go to God, the more hopeful. Is it not true? So what is spiritual life? You are going traveling nearer to God through your thought. That should be the real thing. So if you say it doesn't change circumstances, and if you say I am thinking of God, so I should, my circumstances should change. If I have lost a job, I should get a job. My daughter is not getting married. No, if I don't have a daughter, I must have a daughter. And if my daughter is not getting married, then she should get married. And if after she gets married, if she is not having children, then she should have children. Like that, desire after desire. No, it may happen, it may not happen, that doesn't matter. But in spite of the circumstances, the person becomes very enthused, that is the understanding. Here then, he is telling, what is pure devotion? It is so wonderful to think about it. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachyate tadaham bhakti upakritam ashnami prayatatmana. This is one of the most famous verses in the Gita. The Divine Lord doesn't want anything costly from you. All that, do you have a fruit? then offer fruit. If you don't have a fruit, then offer a flower. You don't have a flower, then offer a leaf. If you don't have a leaf, offer a little bit of water. How much simpler can it be to worship God? Yeah. So, some of our devotees had learnt it very well. So, whenever they come to the Vedanta center, then just before entering the ashrama, there's a big door, they pick up a flower from our own garden. Go to the shrine and offer it to God. I have offered. Saves the money from, from buying, from the shop and all that. Whatever. Fortunately, we don't keep fruits outside. We will pick up the fruits also and then offer it to us. Not only that, after offering, they will take the prasada also. One man used to cross the Ganga by boat for his work, on his way to work and back. One day, he became a bit guilty. Ma, Ganga, every day I am crossing. And I have never offered anything. Today I have to offer. I can't do. Then he took out 10 rupees note from his $10 note and, Ma, please accept this. He threw it on the water. And immediately, De Ma Prashad. He picked it up and Prashad, put it in his purse. Wonderful, he has offered. Actually, this is what we are doing. Who has given you that all these things, patra, pushpa, phala? The idea is, one should offer, it is doesn't matter what material you offer. Offer it with 100% devotion. Because bhaktya upahrutam ashnami prayata. I accept, I eat whatever is offered to me with faith. That's the idea. Then he says, that how to attain to that state of self-surrender is yat karoshi yadashnasi yat juhoshi dadasi yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in sacrifice or puja, whatever you give away as in donation or charity, whatever austerity you practice, O son of Kunti, do all that as an offering unto me. You see, you don't need to do anything. You are cooking, offer it to God. You are doing office work, don't say, this office work belongs to your boss. No, because ultimately your boss belongs to whom? His boss. Ultimately, the biggest boss belongs to whom? To God only. Yeah, everything, the whole universe belongs to whom? To God only. Whatever you do, you offer it, that means remember God. Offering means what? Only this. Remember God and say, before doing a work, Lord, is you bless me and guide me so I can do this work in the proper way. After the work is done, whatever the results, O Lord, you please take it. Only give me devotion. And he won't take away. But he will give you back the results. But you will enjoy it more as a prasada of God. It works. So if one does this, what would be the result? Shubha shubha palairevam mokshase karma bandhanaihi sanyasa yoga yuktatma vimukto mam upaishyasi. Thus, you will be freed from the bondages of actions, bearing good and evil results, with the heart steadfast in the yoga of renunciation, and liberated, you will come unto me. If we can practice that is called self-surrender, then you will ultimately come to me only. And one of the important questions is answering. Is God partial to some? So why do we feel like that? Because we are humans. As humans, we are ignorant. So what happens when you look at the world? You say, Lord, why are you so partial? you are not giving anything to me, or not much, not at least as much as you are giving to the other. Yeah. But you are giving, you seem to be giving other people best things, you know. Very often it comes, I don't have job. Why that person? I am also devotee, your devotee. That person also is a devotee. I don't have a job, but you have a job. And my daughter is not getting married, but that person's daughter is getting married. And like this, comparisons come. So what is the answer? Vedanta always says God is impartial. Impartial means what? He is only a supervisor. If what a person gets depends totally upon the karma that one does. That is the reconciliation between the law of karma and God's grace. Self-effort and self-surrender. This is the reconciliation. But does that mean to say God has no power? It's a foolish question. Because who has given you the idea to do a work? God. Who has given you the energy? God. Who has given you the opportunity? God. Who has given you the freedom? How, what attitude you should have towards your own job? It's God. So through, He is manifesting in the form of self-effort. He is also manifesting in the form of grace. So grace means what? What He is already there, present. Through our karma, as I said, we become fit to receive the results. You know, a person goes on saying, I want to become a musician. Doesn't do anything. Is he going to be a musician? No. But another person wants to be a musician. What does he do? Early morning he gets up, goes on, no, like that, goes on, practice. And through that practice, one day his voice becomes so good, so sweet, so attractive. And then I am also praying to God. He is also praying to God. What is the difference? The difference is you are only praying and not doing anything. That person is not only praying, he is doing the right thing. Therefore, he becomes fit to receive that special talent called musical ability. That is the reconciliation. Who gives that musical ability? It is only God. But he... this man opens his door and says, come. Musical ability, God, in the form of musical ability, come. The other fellow closes his doors. Come. Who can the God come? He can't come. That is the understanding in brief. So he says, Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyaha ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya maiteteshu chapyaham. I am the same in all beings, to all beings. To me there is none hateful or dear. But those who worship me with devotion are in me, and I too am in them. So there are three ideas here. What is the three ideas? It is God alone exists. Do I exist? Do you exist apart from God? It is only God who is manifesting in your form, in my form. If God is everywhere, everything, how can he say some is dear to me and some non-dear to me? One cannot say some part of me is dear to me, some part of me is non-dear to me. We can never say that. Second idea is that even that is God's viewpoint. I am in everything. That is whose viewpoint? God's view, He knows. But we, as created beings, we don't know that. We think we are separate from God, we are separate from each other. Therefore, this division comes. We like somebody and we don't like somebody. The Lord is advising us, do not entertain that idea. So, if supposing a person thinks, that I want to go nearer to God. What shall I do? Some people want to go nearer to God. What should they do? What should they do? Go near. If they want to go nearer to God, what should they do? They should go nearer to God. So what is spiritual practice? The effort to go nearer to God, puja. That's why he says that those who worship me with devotion, they are in me, means what? They come nearer to me, they feel my presence, and I too am in them. I also manifest more in them. It's not going anywhere. If you have more devotion, you love somebody, you are nearer to them. Physically, even if the person whom you love is on the other side of the globe, yet you are so near. But if you don't love, then you are very far away from, if you don't understand, two people don't understand each other, are they near or far? The idea is, love unites us and hatred divides us. This is a most wonderful idea. In Isavasya Upanishad that idea comes, you know. I am within, I am also outside. Tadejati tannayejati. Taddure tadvantike. Tadu antarasya sarvasya. Tadu sarvasyasya bahyataha. So, tad means Brahman. Ejati, it moves. Tad na ejati, it doesn't move. Paradoxical. How can same thing move and doesn't move, near and far, inside and outside? The only idea is, if I know, if I have the eyes to see, where is God? Here. If I don't have the eyes to see God, where is He? For all that matters, He is non-existent. Not only God, anything like that. Anything like that. Supposing, you have a button. You know, jacket button. Somehow it came loose. And you think, and when I get a little time, I will sew it back. You put it. It is somewhere, it is there. But you completely forgot where you have put it. For all that it matters, as though it is non-existent. It may be very near, right, may be there only. It is non-existent because you are not aware of it. Is it not true? It may be on the other side of the world. Anything like that. Many things like that it happen, you know, sewing needle. You put it so safely that you yourself cannot get it. Then you go to the shop and buy it and finish the work and go to put it safely and then you will find it, the original one also. So, that is the meaning is, if you love, if you have knowledge, God is near means what? Near means not in the sense of, our sense of spatial concept. He is me, I am He. If I don't have that knowledge, then I am different, He is different. He is for all that matters, He is somewhere else. Yeah, that is the idea. Again, not spatial concept. He is different from me, means what? He is non-existent. Different means not otherwise. I am different from you. I can see you, you can see me. No. He is God. Therefore, if I see God, then I don't exist. And if I see me,
God doesn't exist.
God doesn't exist. Magic. That is what he is telling earlier. You know? See, Pashyame Yoga Maishwaram Nacha Matsthani Bhuta. Yeah. And he is telling that, well, then what is the hope for us? He says in the two verses, Apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananyabha sadhureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hisaha. If even a very wicked person worships me with devotion, he should be regarded as good, for he has rightly resolved. The moment we resolve to love God, that very moment we have become devotees of God. That resolve itself is an expression of devotion. See, devotion is nothing excepting resolve. I desire to love God. And that in ordinary things, you know. I want this sweetmeat. But this is a very important point. In ordinary life, suppose I want to eat a sweetmeat. Then somebody tells me, I ask somebody, where can I get this sweetmeat? Then he says, there is a shop, It is a mile away and you can go and buy it. Good shortman. Yeah? What did I get? Knowledge. Knowledge about the sweet meat. It is not equivalent to getting the sweet meat. It is only information. I have to go, buy the sweet meat, bring it and eat it, then I enjoy the sweet meat. But in this, I want to love God. The moment you resolve, you are already loving God. Do you get the point?
Mm-hmm.
Try to think about it. It is a bit difficult. How is it? Let me give an illustration. So first illustration is, if you want to get something, somebody gives you the knowledge where it is available, it is not equivalent to getting the object. You have to go and get the object separately. Two acts. First get the knowledge, then get the object. Supposing that you have forgotten your name. Then somebody comes and tells what you have forgotten. Your own name, he will tell you. Then what does he need to do next time? What is the next step? Does he need to go and get? You are already that person. Only somehow temporarily you have forgotten. Then that person only reminds you who you really are. This knowledge, that's all only one step. He says, and I have it. I have it means I already had it. Now I recognize what I am already. See the difference? Anything worldly is up two steps. First you get knowledge, then you get the object. But with regard to self-knowledge, there is only one step. Simply he tells. This is why the Shankaracharya's contention is, karma is useless with regard to self-knowledge. Because any other knowledge, you have to get the knowledge, that's not equivalent to getting an object. Whereas self-knowledge, you are already that. You are a prince. Tell, you are forgotten. He is a prince. What do you need? First you have to tell you are a prince, then you have to bring a kingdom and make him a prince. Is it? See, that is what he is telling. The moment you resolve to love, and already you started loving, because you can't resolve to love unless you have already started to love. So the moment one resolves, I am going to be a devotee of God, I want to love God, already person has become a devotee. But he is telling, he knows our condition. He says, it's not that you are pakka devotee, 100% devotee, you have to increase your devotion. So that is what he says. Kshipram bhavati dharma atma shashvat shantim nigacchati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. This is also one of the most important verses, often quoted by swamis or devotees in the course of their discourses. What is it? A person who resolves sincerely, kshipram bhavati dharmatma, very important. He will give up all what is called immoral or illegal practices. Dharmatma, he becomes an embodiment of dharma. Otherwise, simply I will continue doing whatever I like, cheating people, black money, laundering money, and I will remain a devotee of God. It's not going to. Yes, how do we know? Shashvat chantim nigacchati. He attains supreme peace almost immediately. So that is the proof that he had become a dharmatma. If he doesn't become a dharmatma, he will not get peace. So these are the two important characteristics. One, we must resolve to lead a right type of life. Second, we must also attain peace of mind, because a restless mind cannot really love. This is the truth. Then he says, no mam hi partha vyapasritya episyu papa yonayaha स्त्रियो वैशस्तथा शूद्रा तेपि यान्ति परांगतिम् किं पुनर्ब्राह्मणा पुण्या भक्ता राजर्षेस्तथा अनित्यम सुखम लोकम इमं प्राप्य भजस्वाम. इन दिस टू वर्सेस व्हाट ही इज टेलिंग, सो मेनी पीपल हु आर सिनर्स दे हैव टेकन रेफ्यूज इन मी एंड दे हैव बिकम ग्रेट डिवोटीज एंड अटेन लिबरेशन. इफ दैट इज द केस देन व्हाट टू स्पीक ऑफ ग्रेट पीपल ब्राह्मणा पुण्या राजर्षयः. It means people who have already done a lot of good karma, there is no question, no doubt that they are also going to save me. What is the Lord telling through these three verses? Is a message of hope. Take refuge in me, try to be a spiritual aspirant. That very moment, sincerely, if you do that, already you are on the way, you have turned your face towards the right goal, and he says, my devotee shall never perish. If somebody says to me, he is my devotee, he will never perish. This is my vow. He says, Rama, he says, I have only one vow. If anybody says to me, oh Rama, I belong to you, I will never again abandon him. He may try to abandon me, but I will not abandon him. This simple, beautiful philosophy, Sri Ramakrishna puts it. Once you register your name in the hospital, the hospital will not release you until you get cured. That is the right resolve. So, we have come to the last verse. He is the most beautiful verse. But what does he say? Manmana bhava madbhakto madhya jimam namaskuru mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam matparayanaha. So he says, fill thy mind with me, be my devotee, sacrifice unto me, bow down to me. Thus having made thy heart steadfast in me, taking me as the supreme goal, thou shalt come to me. So three things. What are those things? There are three faculties. What are those three faculties? The faculty of emotion, the faculty of intellect, the faculty of the will, and the faculty of action. So he is telling, first of all, mind, manmana, be filled, means think about me. Emotional, intellectual. Think only about me. By thinking about me, what happens? You will become my bhakta. Emotionally, you will be loving me. Because khete khete balavilach. Go on doing, repeat mechanically, repeat his name, do puja, you will become a devotee. The actions will turn your feelings. Then he says, madhyaji. Then whatever you do, do it as a worship to me. Yaji means here as a worship to me. That is, he is referring to the actions. Mam namaskuru. Then namaskara means what? You use your will to say na mama. Namaha means na mama. Oh Lord, I don't belong to myself. I have nothing that can be called my own. Both I and mine belong to you. If anybody uses these four faculties, all the four faculties, is called four yogas, and direct them towards me, yoke the horses only towards me, that is called yoga, then what happens? That devotee definitely comes to me, means he will become me. This is one of the most beautiful chapters. Though very brief time, we discussed it, some of the important points. So, the last day, tomorrow we have nice puja. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru.